Right.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Keep saying Al Pacino when we say that.
Audit Committee, Erie County Water Authority, meeting of March 26, 2019. Commissioner Jones.
Present.
Commissioner Carney.
Here.
Chairman Shedd.
Here.
Reading of the minutes.
I'll move that we waive a reading of the minutes.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried.
Approval of the minutes.
Move that we approve the minutes of the meeting held October 18th. Oh, check that. Of the meeting.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried.
Reports, there are none. Communication and bills, there are none. Unfinished business, there is none. New business, annual internal controls assessment.
Who's reporting? Karen?
I can present that, Commissioner. I stayed back here.
Oh, Bob, yeah, come on up. Yeah, come on.
Good morning, Commissioners. You have in your packet the work. We take a look at the internal controls for the authorities, the requirement that we do. You had presented in your packet should be the minutes of the meeting that was held of key finance committee staff, and I believe we included in that a copy of the internal controls assessment tool that we use that comes from the New York State Comptroller's Office. And actually, that's one of the findings that you had time to read the report, is that in general, the internal controls are adequate. There are no material weaknesses that we can find in, that, in the control structure. And we do have discussions every year about where we can get better. And one of those places, we think we may need a new assessment tool, which takes into account some additional items, most notably in the IT area, that we'd like to add. But this standard tool comes from the New York State Comptroller's Office. We've used it quite regularly, but we think one of the goals over the next year will be to develop a better tool.
Do we? Somebody have a plan of scheduling the reassessment for next year?
Well, not at this point.
We touched on having maybe a seasonal. We have the starting document that they could put in a questionnaire format.
Oh, okay.
But as far as the timing, we've had those discussions. If you're looking for the timing, you haven't.
Yeah, done, I was just I thinking know getting a plan to get it rolled out.
Sure.
It'll be done by next year.
Okay.
We'll
all right. Somebody put it on a calendar for either June or September so we don't lose track of it.
Okay.
Of the audit committee?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. We'll do. So that's what we have.
Thank you.
All right.
Item B, Drescher and Malecki, 2018 audited financial statements.
Nicole Ruff and Luke Malecki are here today from Drescher Malecki to present our 2018 audit.
Good morning.
Welcome,
Commissioner. Good morning.
As Karen said, my name is Luke Malecki. I was the engagement partner on your audit this year. With me, the senior manager I signed was Nicole Ruff. You should have a few documents in front of you. I'm going to focus mainly on two of them, one being the PowerPoint presentation, and the other one, yours is bound, but your set of financial statements. We're hired by the authority to perform an audit of the financial statements, and by that, we're external auditors. We are tasked with gaining an understanding of your internal controls, testing the expectations of those controls, designing audit procedures surrounding those controls based on your trial balance to determine whether or not the numbers within these financial statements that are prepared by management are fairly stated and within governmental GAAP. We did do all that during the month of March, and believe it or not, we started right at the first week of March. We got everything turned around in a couple of weeks, and we were able to conclude that we have an unmodified, which is an unqualified or a clean opinion on the financial statements. In other words, we feel that these financial statements fairly represent the district or the authority's financial position at December 31st, 2018, and for the activity for that year ended. Additionally, on the first slide here, there's a list of items that we do present. I'm not going to go over in detail with those. As I said, the main focus will be the key reason we're hired, which is to perform an opinion on the financial statements themselves. But you also have within your package a schedule of overhead percentage, the schedule of cash and investments, a management letter, which really just details out some key pronouncements that are coming due within the next few years as far as they relate to your financial statements. An auditor communications letter, which is a formal document that will cover the same communications that I'll have on the next slide. And then finally, we have a comprehensive annual financial report, and that is a document that you do not have yet. That's due to be filed with the GFOA, the Government Finance Officers Association, by June 30th. Typically, we work with Karen to get that out towards the end of April or into May, and we anticipate that timeline again this year. Shifting to the next slide, some key communications. Foremost, our responsibility, again, is to gain an understanding of controls, perform a test of the general ledger, and provide a professional opinion on whether or not the financial statements are without material misstatement. We did that, and we felt comfortable with that. Addition, we're exposed to internal controls. We don't do a full internal control assessment, similar to what the management was talking about just previously. That's the responsibility of management. But during our financial statement audit, we are exposed to internal controls, and there's time and again when we're a series of internal control deficiencies could indicate a significant deficiency or a material weakness. If any of those items came to our attention, we'd have the requirement to report it to the commissioners and to the audit committee. No items did come to our attention. There were no significant deficiencies, no material weaknesses, and no other findings that would consider reportable. Significant accounting policies, typically it's easier for us to summarize what changed from year to year. They all are summarized within note one of your financial statements. The one item that did change this year, and I know Karen brought you up to speed throughout the year, was the implementation of the item we refer to as GASB 75, which took your OPEB liability and required you to put the whole OPEB liability on the books before you were allowed to amortize into it. So the impact of that was a restatement of last year's liability of about $60 million. But these financial statements have all been updated as they are comparable, so that the 17 has a comparable number to the 18 number in OPEB, so you can see the real difference between them.
Yeah, just for clarification, because this is being recorded and people may be interested in it, can you use an acronym for the GASB? That's the liabilities with regards to pension?
It's the other post-employment benefit liabilities. So it's really your retiree health care. Retiree health care benefits that have been legacy costs from years past that have been negotiated through the union contracts. GASB 45, which is Governmental Accounting Standards Board, statement number 45, required that about probably 5 to 10 years ago the authority begin to amortize that cost slowly onto the books. And you got to about $30 million, and then GASB 75 came out and said, you know what, you got to record the whole thing. So the authority is not this alone in this. Every governmental entity throughout the country is faced with a similar pronouncement.
That being the case, and I know we've had this discussion with Karen when she has explained it to us, because it's so new, there's no way to measure our organization versus other organizations who are going through this and whether or not there's some...
The hard
within the standards.
Yeah, the hard item to measure is more of a comparability, because every union contract is so unique and distinct from entity to entity that there's such a dynamic variance between entities. But what we do, excuse me, and it actually gets into the next bullet, is we are required to assess your actuarial valuation and compare it to industry standards and other entities that have implemented GASB 75. It was due this year for you. Some entities did early implement, so there is comparability. We were able to go through the key assumptions within the document to determine whether or not the fair discount rates being used, the healthcare percentage increases over the course of the life of the liability, if they're consistent from entity to entity. So did.
So there were some standards you were able to measure us against,
yes.
And we're not in.
Yes,
variance.
Absolutely. We were required to do that, and otherwise we wouldn't be able to put that opinion on the financial statements, and we did feel that they are comfortable within industry standards and our expectations.
Thank you.
Sure. That gets right into the significant accounting estimates. That is our key estimate in this authority, is that liability for actuarial. So that's how we evaluated it. If anything came to our attention, we would work with management, we would work with the commissioners and the actuaries to determine what the difference was, but we had no disagreements or no real misunderstanding within that report. Independence is a key component of the external audit. We are required to be independent. Each and every person in our firm is signed off as being independent to the authority. Within our audit, we always try to take into consideration some concerns of both management and the commissioners. This year, we expanded our test on the change orders again. We felt comfortable with the change orders. There was one item that came to our attention that was a little bit delayed in the payment. Upon investigation of why it was delayed for all the right reasons because the property authority hadn't been done. So the Board of Commissioners wanted to ensure that it was under the emergency standards. So ultimately, although it wasn't prevented by the system, it was detected and payment was not made to the vendor until it was properly approved. So we looked at that as a favorable item because we do recognize that time they do get overseen. The other special test that we did this year was part of the new rate structure. Last year we did an analytic test, a real sophisticated analytical test to determine whether or not what our expectations of the new rate structure would be from year to year. This year we focused more on the detail side of things. We pulled a sample of bills to determine that the correct charges were being assessed to the correct entities and consumers. We found no exceptions with that. We did that as just kind of an extra assurance of talking with management. Just I know they did their own assessment, but it gave us an extra viewpoint on whether or not the rate structure implementation was fully implemented without fault. And based on our sample, we didn't find any findings there. So just another little extra level of comfort we wanted to provide to you and share with that. We didn't have any disagreements, no AJEs. It's a top-notch staff down there, extremely thorough and prepared for our audit. So no issues with the audit preparedness. I don't think we would have been able to do an audit in 3 weeks if we didn't have that full cooperation. Shifting a little bit to the financial statement information, I'll try to be brief because I know a lot of these items are covered throughout the year, but just from a third-party perspective, I just want to put a couple of key highlights out there. The first item you're looking at is your condensed statement of net position. The items that I look at here as a big shift in the current assets, that really is a shift of cash. Cash increased by about $30 million. However, $20 million of that represents bond proceeds that are sitting in the bank waiting to be used for the investment in infrastructure. The remaining $12 million is a combination of both investment and favorable operations being offset slightly but not fully by the financing of debt and capital improvements. So we did see a shift in that current assets. On the non-current assets, that's your capital investment in infrastructure and so forth. That did increase $9 million. I think that's important to note that it's a net increase. You're sitting on about $392 million of assets. Typically, that gets depreciated by about $13 million a year. So simple division means that on a regular basis, that those assets would be circled through about every 30 years. Because you are investing more, as indicated by the extra $9 million, you're actually investing about an average of $20 million as opposed to the depreciation threshold of 13. That cuts about 10 years off that cycle of assets. So where you wouldn't, if you were just keeping up with depreciation, your pipes would only be, and assets would only be recycled every 30 years. Instead, with this accelerated investment, you're getting a 20-year cycle on that. Really, what we're seeing is a catch-up of improvements that weren't paid in the past. But it is worth mentioning that there is a greater investment in the capital assets than depreciation. In other words, you're outpacing the depreciation. On the liability side of things, as you can see, comparably, 17 to 18 are very close to one another. A slight increase, but that increase was due to the issuance of debt that I mentioned earlier. That number in 17 does accommodate for that GASB 75 item I talked about earlier. And a key point of this, with that, we tend to look back about 10 years to see what your debt picture looks like compared to then as it is today. In 2000 and 19, you're due to pay $4.5 million of debt. 10 years ago, that was about $6.5 million debt. On the books, there's about $40 million less in debt today than there was 10 years ago. What that does is it gives you an extra capability to use that extra $2 million and sink it back into reinvestment into capital assets. So that's part of the reason that net investment actually increased by more than depreciation is the absence of the debt service. So a really good picture of debt there. The last item on this slide that's worth mentioning is the net position. That position is really what we would refer to as net equity in a company or fund balance in a government. Net equity increased by $18.2 million. And the components of that are on the next slide. And then we'll show these pictorially on the final two slides, and then I'll wrap it up. For operating expenses, or operating revenues, excuse me, increased by about $6 million. That really was a combination of a slight increase in the rates, but really directed by the consumption. It was a lot more of a normal summer in 18 versus 17 and 16, which was a little bit higher. So we saw it kind of catching pace with where we were in 15, which was the quote-unquote most normal recent year that we've experienced. On the operating expense side of things, you'll see there's about a $2 million increase there. That represents about 3%. A component of that was part of the GASB implementation of shift of an employee cost to an operating expense. Also, there was a pretty significant increase in repairs and restorations. You are maintaining, as well as, which also indicates why you need to ramp up that capital improvement efforts, because the cost of repairs are substantial. And then also there's an increase in both power usage and power rates, as well as a slight increase in your regular expected wages and overtime, just based on about the 2% within the union contracts. Not too much to talk about with the non-operating revenues and expenses or the contributions in aid. So, and all that factors into that $18.2 million increase in net position. The next slide breaks down pictorially what your operating revenues look like. The key components I like to look at here is the item at the top, first of all, which is your infrastructure reinvestment charge. We're in the second or the third year. So as expected, there's about another $1 million increase within that cost as that finalizes and gets phased off into the new normal. You'll notice in the second category there that there was about a $1.7 million increase in the other revenues. That's the reimbursement from the Sturgeon Point cost coming into this 18 year. So that was a one-time revenue that you experienced that's not going to be experienced, but you did incur those costs in 17. So those did come through. The last item is really just the bottom components, which is your residential and commercial side of things. Slight increase from 17, but again, I think if you look back to 15 and drew kind of what your expected curve would be, you're right on track with what would be the quote-unquote normal, not dry, not too wet summer. On the expense side of things, the main components, you can see that the OPEB costs, the other post-employment benefit costs, has increased, but it's kind of reached the new normal is pay-as-you-go. All that affects the balance sheet liability that I talked about earlier really is just that. It's a liability that's not even allowed to be funded through the state. So it continues to be a pay-as-you-go expense. You budget that for that expense on a regular basis. You cannot fund that full liability there. On the next item, that $15.2 million, there's a little bit of increase there, and that's because your repairs expenses jumped up about 7.5%, as well as a heavy increase in the restoration contracts, about 50% of what was a 50% increase from 2007.
And that was exclusive of Sturgeon Point.
Yes, because this is 18 expenses, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and Sturgeon Point was a
17.
I believe that you recorded that as a capital.
That was a capital?
The replacement we did, yes.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that was big enough of a repair to be the capital replacement. Yeah. And then the last item on this is really just the operating and administration increase, not even by $1 million, and that incorporates those increases in power and wages. So those controllable costs, as far as operating and admin, have been pretty steady, right around that $28.5 million over the last 5 years, as you can see.
Did you factor in unfilled positions? In other words, positions that are budgeted but not filled?
They wouldn't show in here. This is the actual cost. So this isn't not the budget.
This is with those positions.
This is is the money out the door.
Gotcha.
We discussed a couple items with management. I know we're in a kind of a transitional period here, so we look at that as a good opportunity to continue to update your policies. There's been a series of GASB pronouncements that are coming out that are affecting the way that leases are handled and certain capital assets. So we talked to them about recommending looking through their procurement policies, making sure that everything's up to speed with the new GASB requirements, as well as the capital policies. And then I know there continues to be the search for the right information, accounting information system. So we kind of went through some best practices with that with them and really continue to applaud them on their good work down there and the authority's reinvestment in the infrastructure. So with that, that's my formal presentation. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to handle them now. If not...
I'm comfortable with it.
Thank you
very
thank
much.
You.
Thank you
very
much.
Great work.
Thank you both.
Thank you both. move to adjourn.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.